CBS Sports Radio.
It is another solid hour of the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. The number to call with the caveat. Phone calls are taken selectively. Still, no guest in this hour of the program. I can get even more interactive, but because we have struck Twitter gold, it's BW Weber. Weber with two B's, unlike the grill, folks. If I had grill money, my life would be very different. More of your tweets coming up, hashtag JTP. If you want to be comprehensive emails, rome@haveatake.com. Looking ahead to the final hour of the program, 60 minutes from now, we take you round the NFL with the League and Players Association meeting today to try to iron out the details of how training camp will be contested. Are we going to have any preseason games? League is already trying to knock it down to a pair of games. Players Association countering with zero. We will cover it all with my friend and former broadcast partner, Eric Allen, one of the most insightful analysts in any sport I've been fortunate to work with. Eric, six-time Pro Bowl cornerback. Put him in the Hall of Fame, folks. Look at the numbers. He certainly belongs in that conversation. Played for an iconic defense in Philadelphia. You know about his run with the Raiders as well. That is coming up. After a first hour spent focusing on the primary news topic of the day, the name change of the NFL franchise in Washington, and the latest on college football provided by Dennis Dodd of CBSSports.com, let us pivot to the world of the Octagon, UFC 251. I know this is a huge UFC house. In fact, Jim Rome, enjoying life in the basement, took a moment away from his vacation to go on Instagram Live Saturday night from Wisconsin, expressing how pumped up he was for the fight and talking about texting with Dana White. So, among the many reasons to be revved up for what happened on Fight Island, most of our attention coming into the fight card that featured three championship bouts focused on the main event, welterweight champ Kamaru Usman and jungle legend Jorge Masvidal, because Jim has said repeatedly, Jorge's one of his favorite athletes in all of sports. You know about the epic conversations that have taken place on this show. And part of Jorge's appeal, if you're a casual fan, I know a lot of you don't track MMA that closely, although my counter would be, what else are you watching? I know soccer is slowly back to a degree, although positive test wiped out a match in Florida. World team tennis action. Catch it. Now is the time. Don't come at me with tennis. Love tennis. 13 years of Tennis Channel. Very proud of it. Because my style really plays well for tennis. Deuce. And lay out for 5 minutes. If you don't love UFC, I understand. If you think it's brutal, if you think it's a bit inhumane, okay, you're entitled to your opinion. But here's what I'm telling you. The reason I love my time calling the fights for Strikeforce, which got purchased by UFC, including calling a Masvidal fight at the Playboy Mansion in 2007, is the human element behind what's happening in the cage. Because the majority of these guys have great stories to tell. Like Masvidal. He has earned everything he has achieved. He's been in the fight game for 16 years. Self-proclaimed BMF champ of the world. Never backs down. So, we had the opportunity to get a sense of what this fight might be like in February when he and Usman ran into each other on Radio Row in Miami. Felt like they might get it on that day in the convention center. Instead, they went to Abu Dhabi. And credit Dana White for pulling this thing off. And if you didn't watch the fights on Saturday, three more cards are coming up from Yaz Island, transforming that into the center of the sports world on Saturday night. Massive undertaking. Dana got it done brilliantly. They even staggered the schedule and had the fighters shift their body clocks to start that thing at 3 o'clock in the morning. When Masvidal and Usman finally got in the cage, it was roughly 9:30 local time, so we could watch it in prime time here in the States. the biggest element coming into this fight was what would the conditioning of Masvidal be, because he took it on 6 days' notice. Gilbert Burns had to pull out because he tested positive. Jorge dropped 19 pounds just to make weight. So conventional wisdom said, in addition to his style, the better striker between the two, he had to be ultra aggressive, go for the early knockout because he might not have the stamina to go to distance. Very different when you have months of conditioning yet ready. 6 days, a whole different deal. But not surprisingly, Masvidal was this confident when he offered the prediction before the fights.
But I'll tell you this right now, and he said it in an interview as well, that he gets amped up. He gets very excited when guys talk trash, you know. So this is not for you or the viewers. This is directly for Usman. I'm going to embarrass you from start to finish, and I'm going to say it now. So when it gets replayed 10 years from now, I'll tell you, I told you so. I'm going to embarrass you, whether it's on national TV or if I see you right now here today, wherever I see you, I'm going to embarrass you for the words you have said.
Tried to call a shot. It didn't happen. And if you were watching that fight and it was your first exposure to mixed martial arts, you might have joined in with the chorus on social media with the hashtag boring. And Usman gets a lot of that because you might have the sensibility that mixed martial arts should be as raw and dynamic as it gets. It's two dudes in a cage, should be completely enthralling. And you might think every second of the action is going to feature back and forth between the guys. Well, that's not mixed martial arts. And what makes Usman so unique and so versatile is he has a complete approach. So the Nigerian Nightmare had a sense that Masvidal would follow the game plan of being as proactive as he could from the outset, and he came out asserting himself. If you have no life like I do, you scored the fight. I gave the first round to Masvidal, and it seemed like if he's going to win this thing, it's got to be a knockout, because he knew he couldn't allow Usman to take him down to the mat. That's where the champ would have a huge advantage. Instead, and here's where you got to credit the tactical understanding of the fight game from Usman, with Masvidal doing all he could to maintain his footing, Usman took him to the cage, and he used the fence as the same element as the ground would have been. So because he couldn't do ground and pound, he just kept pushing Masvidal back into the fence, and while he was there, stomped away on his feet, and I know that's not exciting. And you probably think it's pseudo-dirty. Well, it's part of the approach and the rules of mixed martial arts. So I'm with you, because I like to watch major sporting events and follow along on social media. If you thought that was boring or underwhelming, I can understand that point of view. But if you appreciate the nuances and strategy of what was happening, that was vintage Usman. That's how he has now won 12 consecutive fights in UFC. So, the old bromide that styles make fights, boxing, mixed martial arts, any combat sport, really came into play. And while you got to give Masvidal a ton of credit for going the distance, despite the major challenge in conditioning, taking a fight on 6 days' notice against one of the best in the world, cutting 19 pounds, is no joke. And Jorge had nothing to lose. He got the big payday because he had leverage, and he's been going back and forth with Dana White about trying to monetize things better because the UFC is a virtual monopoly. They have total control of finances in that sport, but Jorge got the check he was looking for. He got the title shot, and he maximized that opportunity. Didn't embarrass himself in any way. Really, it was no lose. If he had defeated Usman and won the title, this would have been one of the best stories in the history of mixed martial arts. Didn't happen. It wasn't even that controversial. Went the distance. Unanimous decision for the champ. And I don't think anybody could, in any regard, second-guess that decision, which often happens in the world of MMA and happened earlier that night on Fight Island. So where do we stand now? Moving forward, as UFC has done a terrific job of continuing their sport. And I know it's easy to say, well, we should shut everything down, and I understand the concerns. I'm not trying to be somebody in sports talk radio putting on a white coat pretending to be a doctor. I get it. I'm as fully immersed in the real world as you are. But given the safety protocols and the abundance of caution with hundreds of tests in Abu Dhabi, that's how they found out that Gilbert Burns couldn't go. I credit Dana White for even getting this thing going, and now they're going to keep cranking out fights moving forward in the Persian Gulf. Should we get a rematch at some point between Masvidal and Usman? I'm not clamoring for it. I think in the immediate future, and White confirmed it after the fight, next up for the Nigerian Nightmare, it should be Gilbert Burns. He didn't do anything wrong. Not like he tested positive for a banned substance. The guy got sick. There's a lot of that going on here in 2020. So if you're looking for a little bit of justice, it should be Burns next. Plus, if you were checking out his Twitter feed during the fight, he proclaimed himself to be the hungriest fighter in that division. So he'll be highly motivated. As for Usman, because I'm giving out props here, think about what he had to do on 6 days' notice as well. Yeah, he was in fight shape, but he was preparing for a totally different opponent. So in the span of 6 days, that versatility was a major asset once more because he had to radically change his approach getting ready for a fighter like Masvidal, who just hopes to trade in the middle of the cage. Overall, thought it was an entertaining night. Thought the main event under-delivered in terms of excitement, but went basically as many of us thought it would. But there's no way to come up with any legitimate reasons to knock Masvidal at all. And I'm not just sucking up to him because he's popular in the jungle. If you just take a step back and have an objective stance, Masvidal earning even more respect by fighting very well in defeat in a bout that he was never supposed to be a part of it. He may not be the welterweight champion, but he's still one of the baddest men on the planet. 1-800-636-8686. Twitter, BW Weber. Hopefully we are moving on from the Twitter thread wondering about my conditioning and cardiovascular health. That was a major theme in the first hour of the program. Plus, I threw it out there to kick off the show because coming up, we're getting back to the college football news, and so much of it is negative. And I'm trying not to overwhelm you with every headline that could be perceived as something to be alarmed about. So we're looking for some silver linings. Have you discovered any positives in your daily life? What's going on with you and your family, given that you've had more free time, presumably, than you ever had in the past or wanted in all candor in recent months? So, silver linings, hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, coming up in just under a half hour. We'll talk more NFL in addition to the fallout from our nation's capital today with the football team in Washington finally retiring that offensive nickname. Still unclear what the next moniker will be.
Finally.
Tom Brady, Cam Newton, both active on social media this weekend. We'll run through the particulars and then look ahead. Which former league MVP is most likely to win a division playing for a new team? That is coming up. Straight ahead, back to college football. SEC Athletic Directors meeting today. Could they be the only conference that actually takes the field playing college football this fall? You're in the jungle on a Monday. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, we'll hit the phone lines, 1-800-636-8686. If you prefer to lurk in the Shadows of Social Media. It is BW Weber on Twitter. Emails RomanHavatake.com. Coming up in the final hour of the program, about an hour and a half from now, we'll call 2:45 Eastern Time. We'll talk NBA with Kurt Heelan from ProBasketballTalk.com, and the focus of that conversation just shifted radically. Major news from the NBA occurring within the last 25 minutes. There were questions about why Russell Westbrook did not travel to Orlando with the Houston Rockets. We now have the answer from Russ himself, posting on Instagram the following: I tested positive for COVID-19 prior to my team's departure to Orlando. I'm currently feeling well, quarantined, looking forward to rejoining my teammates when I am cleared. Thank you for all the well wishes and continued support. Please take this virus seriously. Be safe. Mask up. So, the first big name in the NBA has tested positive, and there are so many ramifications to this. First, we all want the best for Russ. He's one of the best players in all of basketball. Then we'll get into the logistics. Now he's got a quarantine for presumably 14 days, be cleared, then take a plane, be tested again in the bubble. I didn't think Houston had much of a chance to make a deep run, even if Westbrook were to be 100% physically. Now, don't know his status when the games resume for the seeding games at the end of the month, but this is a major development in the NBA. Russell Westbrook going on social media to let us all know he has tested positive for COVID-19. We'll talk about the implications coming up when we get to the final hour of the program. We'll get analysis from Kurt Heelan of ProBasketballTalk.com. If you are someone who is wondering about the feasibility of playing pro sports at all, this is not what you want to see. And unfortunately, I think when we get to the resumption of the NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the NHL bubbles, baseball playing at their home venues, we're going to see more of this. Because the virus doesn't care about our love of sports, nor does it care about any timelines. So this story has major consequences beyond the implications for the Rockets on the floor. If you're just handicapping the Western Conference, it's all about the Lakers, although more adversity for them to deal with, knowing that Avery Bradley had opted out to joining the team in Orlando. Rajon Rondo breaking his thumb practicing last night. Clippers' depth, I think, makes them the team to beat in that conference. But there were some people who thought, given the AAU feel of what we're going to see coming up in Orlando, no fans, a team like the Rockets could be intriguing to track because Russ, and this is pre-diagnosis and positive test, had the ability potentially just to get incredibly hot and go off and knock 8 3-pointers down. Same thing for Harden. If you want to dissect their postseason resume, the pushback would be not likely. But right now, we're just focused on the health and well-being of one of the best players in all of sports, Russell Westbrook, confirming on Instagram he has tested positive for COVID-19. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. I promised some phone calls, so let's get interactive. 1-800-636-8686. First up, here is Ricardo in Oklahoma. Hey, Ricardo, you're in the jungle. What's going on?
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I am doing well.
Good, good, good to hear. So I want to give my opinion on Usman and Masvidal. Basically, I think that I would not pay for the immediate rematch because I just do not think that Masvidal is ready, even with a full camp, to deal with the clinch and the ground game. The rematch that I would like to see is Colby Covington, because that last match that him and Usman had was could have been fight of the year. I mean, it went to the fifth round. Got to give Usman credit because he was able to finish Covington, which is what a champion does. But two judges had Covington up 3-1. Now, Covington can be unpopular because he promotes Trump and wears that MAGA hat and so on. But I think when it comes to the skill level, he's the one who's the most deserving. And it's the rematch that I would pay for if they booked it.
All right, appreciate the phone call. Solid analysis. I'm with you. That was a heck of a fight, and it speaks to the depth of that division. We know Gilbert Burns up next, but Dana White has a variety of options he can put together. Question is, who can be better in the tactical areas than Usman? Because I don't see a flaw necessarily, and I'm not pretending to be an expert. If you want more of my thoughts, got to download the podcast Inside the Octagon with B-Web, wherever you get your favorite podcast. One more phone call. Friend of the program, whenever I'm here, he is welcome. Matt in L.A. Hello, Matt. What's going on?
B.W. Weber, Brian. Hey, my dude Hamsky, I think, was more trying to get on your good side, thinking that you were an heir to the Weber conglomerate.
Oh, I have grill
and
money.
Kyle
okay,
and
yeah.
Bay may hit you up thinking that you're an heir to the Weber bread conglomerate. You feel me? So no hard feelings on those guys. Hey, I think we're all dealing with the quarantine 15. We all can't be little Jack LaLanne, Brad and Corona killing it with new YouTube videos for the horny housewives of the IE. But, hey, man, you're not that bad, Brian. Look, man, you and I are what my mom used to say are husky guys.
Oh, stop, man. Matt, I'm having now a flashback to my childhood, okay? Look,
listen,
I just need to
quick.
Sweat off a little weight. I'm doing okay, but continue your phone call.
Exactly, because, look, there's guys dealing with the quarantine 15 like you and myself, while others are dealing with the quarantine 125. Have you seen Jeff in Richmond? Have you seen Shawnee, the Cablin Asian takeout king? I mean, these guys' BMI is in beef tallow numbers. You know what I mean? These guys are fat, Brian. You don't have to worry about putting on an extra 100 or two. These guys got that market cornered and every supermarket in their vicinity. Hey, that's all I got for you, Brian. As far as Swish, shut up, dude. You're on the Lakers, homie. Enough already. War Drizzle robbing electricity from street lamps to power his cardboard condominium abode. War Ira Craig skateboarding on a scrap plywood with duct tape wheels and downing a Mickey's Big Mouth at the PCH traffic circle. Outro.
Matt in L.A. Bringing up painful memories, I may or may not have been taken by my parents to the Husky department when I was 13 years old. Okay. Life is about growth, not just my waistline. I'm going to beat you to all these jokes, but given the Russell Westbrook news, fortunately now I have to be a pseudo-journalist on the radio. If you're just joining us, Russell Westbrook posting on his Instagram account, he has tested positive for COVID-19 prior to the Rockets' departure to Orlando. We will continue to pass along thoughts about what it means on the floor and the ramifications for the Rockets. But from a big picture point of view, there's so many questions about what's going to happen as life progresses in the bubble for NBA players, because while they're sequestered, all of the employees bringing them the meals that J.R. Smith is grumbling about are living their lives. They're not in the bubble. They're going home at night and interacting with people in their daily lives. So while I applaud the NBA for proceeding with an abundance of caution, especially remember the timeline as to how these decisions were made. This is months in the making. And the idea when these plans were formulated was that Florida would be a safe place to be. Well, stay with me. I don't want you flipping around, but I'm assuming you're aware of what's been happening in the state of Florida regarding positive tests. And now you have former MVP, one of the biggest names in the league, testing positive before he even got on the plane. There are so many question marks about not only the viability of the NBA, but everything else that we are desperate to see return. My biggest wondering out loud is connected to baseball, because while there are protocols, documents that are over 100 pages long, spelling out just about every imaginable scenario, what's permitted, what's not, They're working on getting spitting out of the game. That is all terrific, and I admire the attention to detail. But after that, we're on the honor system. When players, and the majority of them are in their mid-20s, are going to leave the stadium and hopefully do the right thing. And who knows how this is going to play out? There are just so many variables, so many things we can't even project right now. But before we've even gotten within a close proximity to the seeding games, the effective preseason before the postseason, a name that even casual fans know, Russell Westbrook, testing positive. And now he's got to self-quarantine and we'll try to figure out the rest of the steps involved to get him back on the floor for the Rockets. And looking forward to the analysis that's going to be offered coming up in about an hour and 10 minutes when we're joined by Kurt Heelan from ProBasketballTalk.com. I had to call an audible there if you were looking for my thoughts on college football. We covered it in the first hour when we had that good conversation with Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. I'll get back to college football tomorrow with whatever we learn about the takeaways from the meeting today being held in the SEC as their athletic directors get together. But coming up, in addition to more reaction to the news from the NBA, Russell Westbrook testing positive will make the move to the NFL. Somebody get Tom Brady off of social media. The GOAT is recruiting another old teammate to come back. Plus, who's more likely to win their division? Brady and the Bucks or Cam and the Patriots? That's on the way.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Having a great time with you on this Monday in the jungle. The goal is to be interactive. Had a pair of quality phone calls. We can keep it going. 1-800-636-8686. More of your tweets coming up. Hashtag JTP. That's BW Weber emails. RomeAtHaveATake.com. A reminder, join Michael Breed as he tees off on the top headlines in the world of golf. It is course record with Michael Breed today, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, on CBS Sports Network. Unfortunately, you got to put up with me again tomorrow. Among the topics, the return of Tiger Woods. Got the memorial this week in Ohio. Tiger, other than the match two, which was a debacle. Do not tell me that was entertaining. Barkley could have just FaceTimed with all of us, done those jokes. Tom Brady's a terrible golfer, but in terms of competitive golf, first time we'll see Eldrick since February, trying to tune up for the first major coming up. PGA Championship, early August in the San Francisco Bay Area, Harding Park to be precise. And Tiger's enjoyed his time historically on Jack's Track. He's won the Memorial five times. Reacting to the developing story in the NBA, Russell Westbrook going on Instagram to confirm he has tested positive for COVID-19. That happened before the team went to Orlando, explaining why he was not on that charter flight. And just consider where we are as a society, not only sports, but we're 4 months and a day removed from Rudy Gobert's positive test. That changed everything. Shut down the NBA, and you know the ripple effect. Well, 4 months later, here's Russell Westbrook, the biggest name testing positive in the NBA. If we're thinking about marquee performers in all of sports who have tested positive, Vaughn Miller from the NFL, Novak Djokovic from tennis, I think Westbrook, you can call me an NBA fanboy, has a bigger name, certainly with casual fans, than the other two iconic athletes I mentioned. And while I want to make sure that we are covering this as a sports story, there is the perspective of where we are as a nation. Let's just say this had been the headline 4 months ago instead of Rudy Gobert. This would have been the lead story on every network news program. And now as I was scouring social media during the update, it's getting the attention it deserves and certainly gaining traction. But unfortunately, we're all a bit numb to this news. because every day we encounter someone in our personal lives who has tested positive. Or it could just be the avalanche of information that we have been dealing with for 4 months now. So our primary focus is the health and well-being of a former league MVP, one of the biggest stars in the NBA. And then there's the secondary concern. What does it mean on the floor? We'll get into that coming up in an hour. We're talking NBA with Kurt Heelan from ProBasketballTalk.com. But so often in my business, especially given that I'm filling in for the best in our industry and the stature of this program, when you do a news development, the question is, well, what's the topic? Well, there's no topic here. I can talk about the X's and O's and what it means for the postseason in the Western Conference, and I'll do that coming up in the final hour. But this story, I think, has its own resonance that a huge name in the NBA is right now dealing with the serious story that we're all trying to navigate our daily lives around. And then there are the basketball-related questions, presumably a 14-day quarantine. Then he's got to be cleared medically. Will Russ be able to join the Rockets on time? For me, that's all secondary. Right now, I'm just thinking about Russ and what this means for him personally. But it is astonishing what has happened over the last 4 months and how we react now to what just a couple months ago would have been earth-shattering news. And that's why I don't want to be blasé about this at all. Russell Westbrook testing positive for COVID-19. We'll return to this coming up in the final hour of the program. Now I have to make the awkward transition, awkward, to trying to have some levity and make sure we get you fully involved in the program. Throughout there, at the start of the show, looking for silver linings. I said that we've been encountering so much negative news. Of course, I could not have anticipated this headline connected to Russell Westbrook, but any positives you might have picked up in your personal life? Yes, we're doing nice radio. Aspen Spin tweeting, I've been playing a lot of tennis. That's my silver lining. My game has improved. Okay. Not entertaining, not funny. No take there, but thank you for being a part of the show. My guy 12 Wood, I have been a guest on Woodscopes twice. Enjoyed those conversations. Dear NBA, send all of the unwanted snacks to Jim Rome Studio, signed Garrett Ritz. You know, I actually eat relatively clean. Appearances aside, I try to focus on doing the right thing. My man Ritz inhales more sugar than Veruca Salt inside Willy Wonka's lair, yet he's skinny fat guy. I don't want to know what your blood test results look like. Probably don't go to the doctor. That would be my recommendation. You don't want to know.
That's an H.
But you inhale more sugar than the folks working for the Hershey's company, and somehow you're doing okay.
Game on.
Yeah. Newport Nick, 355. Hey, NBA. You do an abundance of caution. I'll do an abundance of sausage. Sincerely, Brian Weber.
Fat.
Okay. Let's make the move to the NFL. Because coming up in 15 minutes, we'll start the final hour of the program, taking you around the league with my pal, Eric Allen. Don't want to read my resume, but I've been doing this for more than 10 minutes across a variety of sports. Been very lucky to work with many talented people. Nobody better in terms of analysis, and also he's a tremendous human being, than Eric Allen, the six-time Pro Bowl NFL cornerback. So with the NFL working out salient details about, oh, minor topics. How is training camp going to be staged? Will we have any preseason games? Is the regular season in jeopardy? Because let's just draw a parallel. Let's say this was Tom Brady instead of Russell Westbrook testing positive. What would that mean for the NFL? Well, the cynic in me says, even though Brady's the GOAT, the NFL is going to find a way to play because not only of the financial reasons, it's a TV show. They got to get these games on the air so the networks can get ratings and the league can get paid, especially since they're moving forward with a business model, presuming they're not going to have fans. Next man up is the mantra in the NFL. We'll find out what happens in the fall. But before we get to games being played, whether we have a preseason or not, it's a little bit of a silly season in the NFL as we balance real-world concerns. And Russell Westbrook certainly reminding us all of what's going on every day. Tom Brady is not good at social media. Now, some of that may be due to his age, and I'm not being an ageist. I'm older than the GOAT. I think a lot of it is it's just too corporate. Because if you just think about the very definition of social media, typically it's not either of those words. It ain't social, as I'm finding out, a vortex of negativity and fat jokes, and it's not traditional media. Really, it's just a megaphone for blasting out promotional messages. So that's typically how Brady has at it on Twitter or the gram, trying to get you to buy his magic pajamas. Pardon me, officially called Recovery Sleepwear Innovation, for the low, low price of $200. And he's got all the dad jokes, understandable because, like yours truly, he's a middle-aged dude, 43, coming up next month. So when Brady went on Instagram the other day reflecting on his premier individual performance and came up with a game against the Bills, no surprise, because the Patriots have buried Buffalo for a very long time. In that game, they hung half a 100 on the Bills. Brady threw 4 touchdown passes to Randy Moss. Brady used that as an opportunity for the obligatory line, "Hey, Randy, Bucks red would look really good on you. Do you have a few snaps left?" Hi-oh! He's the most accomplished quarterback of all time, but he's not George Carlin. Contrast that, another contemporary reference, to Cam Newton, who is all about that Instagram life. The quality of Instagram videos would make Martin Scorsese jealous. And he's going black and white with huge production values. And he uses a font because I'm middle-aged. I don't even understand. I think it's goth something. I get the gist. He's motivated and he's ready to come back. Well, we know this is not basketball. It's not going to be Brady playing Cam Newton one-on-one or arm wrestling. It's a team sport, so it makes sense to evaluate what could happen this year coming up through a team lens. Who's more likely to win their division, Cam Newton and the Patriots or Tom Brady and the Bucks? And you're going to say quickly, well, when I watched Tampa Bay last year, in addition to seeing Jameis Winston throw 30 interceptions because he had that 30-for-30 season, this was not a terrible football team. In fact, if they had a decent turnover margin, might have been in the playoff conversation. They won 7 games. The issue is, while Brady will be a much better game manager, and if you're listening in New England, I know this is sacrilegious, that's all Tom Brady is at this stage of his career. You're hoping he does not make the major error, especially in a traditional season when we get to the second half of the year when he falls apart physically. Still, he's taking over a squad with real weapons. Mike Evans, leading playmaker. He's got Gronk coming out of retirement. But he's got a defense that he can't help. And that's the real issue compared to what he had in New England. Bucks defense has been terrible, giving up last year 28 points a game. They're number 29 in the league in scoring defense. So that's a concern that Brady can't address. Then there's the division in which they play. And I realize the Saints lost at home in the postseason to Kirk, don't call me Kurt, Kirk Cousins of all people. But Saints still have a better roster than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm not going to waste your time on the rest of the division. We'll see what Matt Rhule can do. In Carolina, very happy Teddy Bridgewater is healthy and got paid. And Atlanta, to me, and we're not having the Matt Ryan Hall of Fame discussion this afternoon, Matt Ryan is, in many ways, emblematic of that franchise. Empty calories. He'll put up good numbers. They're not going anywhere. Dan Quinn probably should have lost his job last year. So, if we're just looking at that division, I think the Bucks are the second best team in the NFC South. Well, what about the AFC East with a, and this is a big if, healthy Cam Newton? And I can't presume that health because, in addition to the foot injury, you know about the lingering shoulder condition. But let's just say he is able to get onto the field. And they're not asking him to do much because the focus of this offense is going to be run-oriented. They spent money on the offensive line. You got Sony Michel, James White, Rex Burkhead, Cam offering a dimension at the goal line they've never had. You want him to make better decisions so he doesn't put his body on the line. But Cam Newton, if healthy, I'm not saying he goes back to the form that won him an MVP and took Carolina all the way to the Super Bowl, and I know he made a business decision, didn't jump on that loose fumble. That was a long time ago. If Cam can play somewhere in the neighborhood of what we've seen in the years of peak Cam, Patriots are the best team in that division. And I know what Buffalo did last year. Did you watch that playoff game against Houston? Are you really riding with Josh Allen, who continues to have turnover issues? I don't have to do my Jets rant, but the summation is, who's the second-best quarterback in the history of the New York Jets after Joe Namath? Maybe it's Sam Darnold. The answer is Chad Pennington, but the Jets have their issues, and the crazy Manson lamps going on the sideline from Adam Gase don't help. And Miami, nice story. I am so happy Tua is healthy. They have not won a playoff game in 20 years. So if you're a Patriot basher, and I understand, detestable franchise in many ways, I got bad news for you. Healthy Cam Newton means more of the same. Patriots are going to win that division. Coming up, more reaction to the breaking news. Russell Westbrook testing positive for COVID-19. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio.